Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Okay, if we're giving random shout-outs to Chicago radio shows, Parkins and Spiegel, obviously the best.
Afternoons on the Score.
Mahomes is more talented, but Brady's way better at quarterback. Okay. And I know.
You know what? This is unbelievable. Colin, hold on. Hold on. What? Since you fit that in, I have to do one thing here real quick before we go. Right. It's important. Once upon a time, Colin Cowherd was the best local radio host in America. Yeah. I think then it was nobody wore the crown for a bit. Then I wore it for a little bit. Then yeah. FS1 hired me. Right now, the guy who's the best local radio host in America, you and I both know him.
Yeah.
His name's Danny Parkins.
He's great.
Isn't that nice?
One, two, three.
And here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
It's good to have good friends in high places. That is my man, my best friend, my brother, Nick Wright. First things first, Fox Sports 1. Way too kind. He joins us now on the Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. What's up, Nick?
This is a really well-produced radio show. You know, I still follow the local radio ratings, and I see you guys just crushing it. And despite my kind words, I'm a little shocked by it because I know how mediocre the top-level talent on this show is. But then I hear that level of production. I'm like, oh, I get it. This is a big-time, big-market, drive-time radio show. What a great intro. How's it going?
It's going.
Right. You're right.
Yeah, that is Chris Tannehill, our guy Tanny. He is the best sound man.
Tannehill loves it more than anything in the world.
Thank you, Jason Benetti. I said in that piece on Barrett Sports Media, you know, because you don't often see radio producers get 2,500-word profiles, that he could produce and do the sound for Howard Stern or Dan Patrick or our guy Colin Cowherd, and none of them hire him away. So I just continue to ride his coattails. It's amazing.
No, he's outstanding. Thank you for having me on. I assume we have a bevy of topics to get into, so I won't waste any more time. What are we talking about today? You brought me on for my White Sox analysis. Yeah. I hear they're going to effing win the whole thing or something. I'm not sure who said it, but that was cool.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You're a big baseball guy. Nick will have to comment on baseball during Fox's broadcast of the All-Star Game and Fox's broadcast of the World Series, and he plagiarizes takes from the internet and gets hundreds and thousands of retweets.
Wow. Who am I plagiarizing? What are you talking about? Like, that's unnecessary. That part's unnecessary. People are plagiarizing me, if anything. But the only place in America you could find a definitive list of the 47 best basketball players ordered in pyramid form was on my show. I didn't take that from anyone. I come up with that myself. But let's actually get into it, Parko.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was going to ask you to name a Cincinnati Red, but since that's not why you're here, how do you believe
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Ken Griffey
Jr. Take that.
Yeah, you're right. Ken Griffey Jr. was a Cincinnati Red for a minute. You are somewhat of an NBA historian, and I like contextualizing these things. The performance that Giannis just put on in the NBA Finals falls among what greats in terms of all-time NBA Finals performances?
Let me just ask a quick question. Are you talking about Game 6 specifically, the series as a whole, do you want me to answer on both accounts?
No, the series as a whole, the NBA, I mean, you can do Game 6 if you'd like, but I'm more interested in big players make big plays in big-time games, and he did it in all of their wins. It's one of the all-time great finals performances of my lifetime, but you rank everything. Yeah. How do you rank it?
Yeah, so here are the unquestioned top five of the last 30 years. Jordan in 93 against the Suns. You can almost pick your favorite Shaquille O'Neal one, but I would argue Shaq's first finals with the Lakers when it, I think you can fact check me on this, but I think he was a humble 38-16 in that series with a couple of blocks. D Wade in 06, LeBron in 16, and Giannis this year. That's your five best. Now, if I'm ranking them 1 to 5, I am going to go D Wade at 5. I am going to go LeBron at 4 because LeBron wasn't great the first 4 games of that series. He just had the greatest 3-game stretch in NBA history to end that series. I'm going to go Shaq at 3, Giannis at 2. Sorry, I'm in New York City. They're being rude. Giannis at 2 and Michael Jordan against the Suns at 1. Jordan against the Suns. Because people, Barkley in that moment was the second best player in basketball, coming off the best series he had ever played, maybe the best game he had ever played in the conference finals. And then Barkley gave, you know, I mean, kept throwing haymakers and played his best basketball until, of course, he forgot to rotate the packs in and just threw his hands up 17 feet away from the play and blew it at the end. But so I would say Jordan 1, Giannis 2. I think the second best finals performance as a series over the last 30 years. As far as individual games, the one that always gets forgotten, people call it the Willis Reed game. Game 7 of those finals, Walt Frazier had 36, 7 rebounds, and 19 assists. 36, 7, and 19 in Game 7 of the finals when Willis Reed, you know, scored 4 points.
Right.
That is right there. Duncan, nobody cares about this. Duncan, to close out a finals, had a humble 21, 20, 10, and 8, 2 blocks shy of a quadruple double to win the title in 03, a year he won league MVP. Jordan's 45, again, we'll include Michael in this. Jordan's 45 against the Jazz when everyone else on the team was dead. He scored over half the team's points. Fox Sports, I'm doing an interview right now, though. Nice to talk to you, man. And
this is his life, by the way.
LeBron just sitting on my stoop, smoking a Black and Mild, getting heavy, listening to people honk horns, shouting basketball stats, and being accosted on the street. LeBron's the underrated LeBron game is not the Game 7 against the Warriors. Game 7 against the Spurs after the Ray Allen game, LeBron had 37-12 and the game-winning jump shot in a Game 7. But the Giannis 50-point game, to me, Giannis's game trumps all of the closeout finals games ever, except for Magic. Magic, as a rookie, no Kareem, I'll play center, and I'll go 42-15-7 at 20 years old. That still seems make-believe, but it happened. So I think Giannis had the second-best closeout game ever, and with respect to Bullet Bob Pettit, who dropped 50 in 58 to beat Russell and the Celtics.
He is Nick Wright, Fox Sports 1, First Things First. He is very much in New York City right now. He's on Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. What do you make of the conversation that I see on sports television of this championship, the way the Bucks did it, will influence the league into organic teams and organic championships in that throwback sort of way? It's given Bulls fans hopes, frankly, because we don't recruit great free agents to the Bulls. I believe that super teams will still rule the day in terms of team assembly, but like, do you actually believe that what the Bucks did will have ramifications for how the other teams try to team build going forward?
Well, I think it could, not how teams do it, but how players look at it. I think it could. Like, I think, you know, you're a Bulls fan. I think Lauri Markkanen watches these finals and is like, you're damn straight I'm bringing it back.
Shut up, man. Sorry. I don't enjoy what you're saying. They're going to lose him for nothing, and he was the 7th overall pick, and we're building a 6th seed around Zach LaVine and Vucevic right now. Bite your damn – Patrick Williams, by the way, I had future All-Star Jimmy Butler before anyone. Patrick Williams.
You did.
Patrick Williams, future All-Star.
Okay, listen, Danny was super high on Jimmy Butler before anybody, and he does deserve credit for that. This is way before he was on radio in Chicago, and I used to make fun of him about it. But then right when he got to the radio in Chicago, he decided the Bears were going to build an offense around a thunder and lightning combo of Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. So like that, you know, it kind of, he was like, oh, it's all thunder and lightning. I'm like, yeah, buddy, sure is. But here's what I think. I think if you're a New Orleans Pelicans fan, you have a little more hope today. You're like, maybe Zion says, let's do it this way. Like, that's what it is. If you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan, you're like, maybe Ja Morant sees what Giannis did. And by the way, sees that Durant is still not satisfied. Like, Durant went the ultimate super team route, right? Durant did. So here's the super team conversation. It gets skewed a bit because, like, the first super team of the modern era was the Celtics. But nobody blamed KG because the Timberwolves were incompetent, right? Yep. LeBron has left three times. The only time you could argue the team wasn't incompetent was when he left Miami. And he left Miami, and it's so weird. The best situation was the one he got the least criticism for leaving because he was going back home. But Cleveland the first time had 7 years to build a contender. Best teammate they gave him was Mo Williams. Cleveland the second time could have traded Kyrie for Paul George, could have kept Kyrie. Said Dan Gilbert's like, nope, need to get the draft pick so we can build around Colin Sexton after LeBron. Good call, Dan. But he's now like the eighth richest person in the world, so what do I know? So there's like the KD's thing. The reason, like, KD obviously could have won. They should have won at least the West in 16 because they're up 3-1 on the Warriors. I think, and so it wasn't just that he left a decent, more than decent situation. It's that he left it to go to the Warriors. So, like, I think some guys might be like, man, KD left, won Finals MVP, won championships, and, like, still doesn't seem happy and doesn't seem to get the respect a lot of people think he deserves. So, like, maybe that does influence what Ja or Zion or one of these guys wants to do. Luca, not the Dallas small market.
Or Patrick Williams.
I think it could have influence there.
Patrick Williams.
Patrick Williams.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Patrick Williams, is that the Reds player you were asking me about?
No. That was Joey Votto.
Oh, by the way, are Bulls fans mad at me? Joey Votto does not still play baseball. Stop trying to mess with me. Mm-hmm. Vucevic was first man off the top 47. First out. Like my first four out, didn't make it.
Oh, that's I missed that. I was just looking for where Zach LaVine was. Yeah, no, I appreciate
D Rose. Zach LaVine made it, and D Rose was my. I had to pick between D Rose or Vucevic, and I was like, you know what? I'm giving it to D Rose. Liked him coming off the bench this year. Sorry, go ahead.
Which honestly, I appreciate. I don't know if anyone else does, but I certainly appreciated it. I have other sports things to ask you about, but I am personally more interested in what you're doing next Tuesday night. I believe this should be a bigger story. You and I used to play in the Sunday Million party poker tournaments back in college. We may or may not have had our heads so far up in the clouds that we had no chance of doing it. We played at 18-year-old casinos. You introduced me to an underground poker game where I ended up leaving after my third time playing because a gun was pulled at the game. Like, you and I have been playing cards for a long time. Can you please tell our audience what you're doing in Las Vegas next Tuesday night?
Wednesday evening, I'll just be honest, we're doing it on Tuesday. Danny's not wrong, but it's airing on Wednesday and we're pretending it's live Wednesday. So Wednesday evening, on the Poker Go app, you can see it. I am playing Phil Hellmuth heads up for $50,000. Hellmuth has been dominating this format. It's a heads up duel. They hope to at one point have a heads up match for $12.8 million. Every time the stakes double. If you win three in a row, you can cash out. Hellmuth won three in a row and cashed $400,000 against Antonio Esfandiari. He then won three in a row and cashed $400,000 against Daniel Medrano. And so Tom Dwan or Phil Ivey were going to be next. But instead, I weaseled my way in there in part because a few months ago, I went to Vegas and played some cash games with Phil and Medrano and some others and a sit-and-go tournament with Phil and Medrano. And since it hasn't aired, I can't tell you the results except to say that I killed them all. So because of that, they decided they were going to let me come back, bring some of the money that I had won when I was out there last time, put up 50 grand and play Helmuth next week. And if I win, now the thing is, you can't cash out. So if you, the only way you can cash out is if you win three in a row. So I will have to beat Helmuth, or if Helmuth, you know, after I just mentally, you know, eviscerate him over a couple of matches, if he decides not to re-challenge, then it's probably, you know, would be like me against Ivy. Because first match is 50 grand a piece, second match 100 grand a piece, third match is 200 grand a piece. And if I were to win all three, then I can walk with 400,000. If I lose any of them, I can then re-challenge. But you got to have Danny Parkins live on a golf course type of money if I, you know, to do that. So I'll probably bow out.
Right. And I went to Vegas to witness one of these games against Phil Helmuth. And all I can say is I will be watching Wednesday night on Poker Go my old gambling buddy Nick Wright against Phil Helmuth for 50K. It's absolutely unbelievable. News of the day in the NFL that apparently has DeAndre Hopkins considering retirement is if a COVID breakout happens among unvaccinated players, the team can will be forced to forfeit the game. The NFL is not going to reschedule, and players from both teams would lose their game check for that week because there would, of course, be no game. I really support the NFL being heavy-handed on this. Players are bucking a little bit. How do you believe this plays out with by far the most strict COVID vaccination restrictions or mandates, if you will, in pro sports?
I apologize. I know it's your show and I should answer the question you ask, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't actually know how it plays out. I do know that we have reached like peak lunacy on this stuff, and it's wildly dangerous and incredibly disappointing. Like, and by the way, I think the idiots have won in that even the people who know better typically phrase their commentary on this like, it's a personal choice and listen to your doctor. But here's the thing. Guess what your doctor is going to tell you? Get the vaccine. There's like a 1 in 1,000 chance your doctor is going to be like, well, given your particular very outlierish health reasons, I would recommend against it. There are no doctors. I'm not talking someone that just adds doctor to their Twitter handle. I'm talking about someone that went to 6 years of medical school. There are no doctors telling people not to get the vaccine. Now, do I believe it should be mandated by the government for you to live in the country? No. But do I think private employers should absolutely be able to use any leverage they can to get people to get a vaccine that can help the collective health of the country and, by the way, help the vaccinated person, maybe even against their own wishes? Of course. And for the people who are using their oversized thumbs right now to text you and be like, my brother got the vaccine and still got COVID. I'm sorry for your brother. But to quote Roger Sherman, that's not that dissimilar from saying the bulletproof vest doesn't prevent you from getting shot. No, but it prevents the bullet from killing you. And vaccines were not controversial a long time ago. There was like 6 years ago. Do you know who didn't get vaccinated? Like, not the far right. It was the uber left, the hippies that drank raw milk and lived on the outskirts of San Francisco. And that's where there was like a measles outbreak. And then everyone got toxic internet brain and just decided that they, you know, well, I could go to medical school or I could watch this 11-minute YouTube video. Well, this seems more efficient, and it's terrible, and it's ruining the country. So yeah, if D-Hop, you're a great player. I love you, man. But if you want to retire, we'll be fine. That's fine. Go ahead, buddy.
He is very right about everything he said in the last 90 seconds. Speaking of being a well-produced radio show, he was right about that too, which is why we have this.
We continue the series with the NFC North, which probably has my most surprising prediction of all the divisions. The NFC North I have as the only division with two teams that get 12 or more wins. You're probably even more surprised who those two teams are. Do you think one of them is going to be the Packers? You would be correct. But I don't think the Packers are going to win the division. I think they're going to lose the division on a tiebreaker decided by their Week 17 game against the Chicago Bears. The Bears, my surprise pick in the entire 2020 NFL season.
Nope.
You don't even. I'm sorry. It makes me laugh.
They went 8-8. How do you have the Bears doing this year?
Well, let me answer a question with a question. Justin Fields is actually starting, right? This is all a lie.
I believe it to be a lie. Yes, I believe it to be a lie.
Okay, if Justin Fields is actually starting, then I think you guys can go around. I guess there's 17 games now. I hate that, by the way. I don't hate that there's 17 games. I just hate that I have to recalibrate my brain to it. I mean, I'm going to be, there's no longer like the first quarter of the season. Like, there's no quarters of the season. No schedule should be a prime number. Like, what are you thinking, folks? There's no midway point of the season, no quarter of the season. Come on, just go to 19 if you have to, or 18 if you have to. 19, also a prime number, believe it or not. Listen, I think they'll be around 500, but I think Bears fans will find it a much more enjoyable 500 because I think you guys made the right pick at quarterback. I like Justin Fields a lot, and if the argument is we're going to start Dalton because we promised him the job, that seems more of an NBA thing than an NFL thing. Like, in the NBA, like, the Lakers fans are like, why is Drummond starting? And it's like, well, in the buyout market, he could have picked a lot of teams, and they told him, you're going to be the starting center. And that is, if you lie to a player, like, agents can just crush you. That doesn't really feel like a thing in the NFL. And also, it's Andy Dalton. So maybe starts week one and, you know, in a loss to the Rams. That's you guys play week one, right?
Yeah.
I don't have the schedule in front of
me. Okay. I broke the news of the schedule. It was the Rams, but I'm being told that we have to go because we have to get to a Cubs game. So regardless, they're going to be around 500. You're going to beat Phil Hellmuth, and you're in New York City, and there's horns honking. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
And go get the vaccine. Bye.
Bye. That's Nick Wright. This is Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
Be direct.
Shane Reardon's going to a burlesque show tonight.
Jesus Christ, I told you that in confidence.
Our guest today...
That's what we call him, Danny Inconfidence Parkins. Yep. That's what we've always called him.
That's right.
Things we talk about in the show meeting always make it to air.
Shane Reardon is going to a burlesque show tonight. Him and his... We putting a label on it?
It's a situationship.
It's a we've talked newer about type of situation.
Yeah, it's a newer type of situation.
Excellent. But it's... You fell into it fast.
No.
No, okay. Well,
no.
The burlesque show will elevate it to whatever the newer type of situation to just a situation.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's your opinion, and your opinion stinks.
Well, no.
Our guests today were Bill Fichtner, the character actor, Nick Wright, the character, Bart Winkler, who sounded terrible, and Dave Wanstead. What a show. That was executively produced. Man, I've had too much bourbon. Yikes. By Shane Reardon. Connor O'Donnell runs our Twitch chat and video stream. We very much appreciate him. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Tomorrow, there is Cubs baseball. Matt Spiegel is doing pre, post, and the fifth inning. So please stay tuned for him. Cubs baseball with Zach Zaidman follows us. Then, of course, it is Pat and Ron. My name is Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Fried chicken, yeah. Closer to the weekend, Thursday, and then Friday, here comes the weekend.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.